Welcome to Cancer Healthcast, where science is driving hope. I'm your host, Nikki Henderson. Today, we are joined by Dr. Leah Mechanic, who is the program director at the NCI Division of Cancer Control and Population Sciences, and Dr. Bettina Drake, who is the professor at the Washington University School of Medicine. They will be discussing the Participant Engagement and Cancer Genome Sequencing Network, and how this and similar initiatives are helping to make significant strides in cancer research and improving treatment options for patients in underserved communities. Hello, Leah and Bettina. Thank you both so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Before we dive into our conversation, do you mind introducing yourselves and telling us a little bit about your roles?
Sure. So, hi. So I'm Leah Mechanic. As you mentioned, I'm a program director at the NCI, and I am the NCI team lead for the Participant Engagement in Cancer Genome Sequencing Network, or PECGS.
Great. And my name is Bettina Drake. I'm a professor in at Washington University School of Medicine and associate director for community outreach and engagement at Siteman Cancer Center. And within this PECGS network, I'm one of the MPIs for the Washington University site. And so that site is led by myself, as well as Graham Colditz, Ryan Fields, and Lee Dean.
Okay, perfect. Well, Leah, can you start off by telling me about the Participant Engagement and Cancer Genome Sequencing Network? When was it created? What is its overall mission? And how is it helping to accelerate cancer research?
Sure. So the Participant Engagement in Cancer Genome Sequencing Network, or PECGS, was designed to promote and support direct engagement of cancer patients and post-treatment cancer survivors in cancer research, and to use this approach to address our gaps in knowledge about the molecular changes in rare cancers, cancers with high disparities, and cancers in understudied populations. This network was launched as part of the Cancer Moonshot in response to the Blue Ribbon Panel Recommendation A that called for a network for direct patient engagement. And this network is one of the several initiatives that were launched in response to this recommendation. All of our research centers were able to begin recruitment by the fall of 2022. So we see PECGS as accelerating cancer research by advancing our understanding about the molecular changes in tumors. And while a lot of progress has been made in this area, there are research gaps where we really need more data. And this study is designed to address some of these research gaps. Moreover, this study is going to help researchers understand how to better engage with cancer patients and survivors in genomics research studies.
Okay, great. Well, what are some of the main objectives the PECGS network is trying to accomplish when it comes to informing decision-making about cancer treatments and improving patient outcomes?
So the main objective is to promote this direct participant engagement to address those knowledge gaps that I described about molecular changes in tumors so that all communities can eventually benefit from advances in precision medicine. All of our PECGS research centers are aiming to better describe these changes where data is not available in sufficient numbers. And we need this data to be able to adequately target specific therapies. And without this data, it's likely that the targets have not yet been identified, or it's possible that there are specific targets that have not yet been identified. In addition to this discovery research, three of our research centers are using tumor sequencing to inform clinical care after consulting with their molecular tumor boards, oncologists, and exploring linkage to clinical trials. It's important to note that all of our research centers, with our emphasis on engagement, we see participants as the foundation of our program, and they have partnered with patients, community members, and participants since their program inceptions. Therefore, our research centers have served as resources for their participants, really returning information to participants, such as genetic data, information about their cancers, and providing links to useful resources as some examples.
Perfect. Well, Leah, how important is engagement of cancer patients and survivors community members and potential participants when it comes to closing those research gaps surrounding cancers and understudied populations and helping advance health equity?
So our network sees engagement as critical to advancing health equity. These types of partnerships can improve the study acceptability, the quality of our research, and the relevance of these studies to the communities which we're partnering. And our network this past year developed our core values, and we noted that all of our values led to the core value of advancing health equity. And without engagement, we won't fill these research gaps, and some populations will not have the opportunity to benefit from precision medicine in the same way as others.
Wow. Well, thank you for highlighting that. Data is important, as you mentioned, and as well as engagement to helping advance health equity and making sure everyone has equal opportunities to healthcare and cancer treatment. Well, Leah, we're going to shift the conversation just a tad here. What role does artificial intelligence play in genome sequencing? And can it help with better identifying and matching specific therapies to certain cancers?
So I think as a research field, we need to use all of the available tools in the toolbox to not only better understand what treatments work in which patients, but to better understand how we prevent cancer. These PECGS studies may help provide insights into cancer mechanisms and the contributors to the disease. But thinking specifically in the context of precision medicine, the research centers are examining multiple biomarkers in tumors, looking at changes in DNA, looking at gene expression as examples, and understanding how all these changes impact treatment is important. But it's critical with any analytical tool, such as artificial intelligence, to be aware of any potential biases that can be induced by both the algorithms themselves and the limitations of available data that are used to inform these algorithms. The PECGS is working towards addressing some of these data limitations by really addressing some of the data gaps in our genomic research studies.
Okay, perfect. Well, I know that there's this specific PECGS study called the Washington University Participant Engagement in Cancer Genome Sequencing Study. Bettina, can you please talk more about the purpose of this study and how it's being used to eliminate health disparities?
Thank you. So the focus of the Washington University PECGS is on three rare cancers and populations that experience significant cancer disparities. So our site is focusing on patients that have cholangiocarcinoma, which is a rare cancer. It's cancer of the gallbladder. We're also focused on early onset colorectal cancer, specifically among African Americans. We've seen an increase in this population being diagnosed with colorectal cancer over recent years. And then the third cancer that we're focused on is multiple myeloma, and again, specifically within the African American population. And so the goal of this PECGS at WashU is really understanding how we can engage participants across these three populations in genomic studies. So we're interested in understanding how ethical, legal, and social concerns can impact people's decisions to participate in genomic studies, as well as the genetic testing and the return of results from those studies. And part of what we're doing is conducting a randomized control trial that's embedded within our center to expand a current genomic return of results decision aid. And this is a web-based decision aid that will elicit participants' values and preferences for receiving results from cancer genomic sequencing. And it includes personalized information on the participant's type of cancer that they have. And then it'll guide them through a values clarification process to help them understand how they're weighing the different factors that are contributing to that decision. And then finally, at the end of the aid, they'll be able to think through some questions that they would like to ask the genomic counselor. And so part of our study is also developing a decision tool, a return of results tool that will be given to both the genetic counselor, the participant, and can be shared with their provider as well so that all of that information can be returned back to the participant and used for their further treatment.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Well, how is the Washington University PECGS study making a difference as far as enhancing treatment options and follow-up care for patients?
Right. So like we've mentioned before, and like what Leah said earlier, this study is really focused on engagement and participant engagement. These are populations that we don't have a lot of samples in. They're populations that we don't typically see in a lot of the current research studies that are being conducted. And so we have integrated an engagement process throughout the entire study, from the recruitment, including the recruitment materials, through the return of results process, and even the genomic analyses and the kind of results that are being produced. We work really closely with patient partners, both the participants who have consented to be in our study, but also three national foundations specific to those three cancers. So the Cholangiocarcinoma Foundation, the FIGHT CRC, FIGHT Colorectal Cancer Foundation, as well as the Multiple Myeloma Research Foundation. Mm-hmm. So we have representatives from each of those groups that we work closely with within our advisory board. And they have helped us completely restructure how we recruit patients, our survey design, our return of results form that has been recently developed and what it looks like, the types of categories from the genomic analyses to include in the return of results form. And it also is helping us to develop the process for that return of results so that it's most informative for the patients and to be utilized by both the patient and the provider.
So basically you're partnering with these foundations that are focused on these cancers and to help, like you said, develop the process and provide better treatments for everyone. That's amazing. Well, Bettina, what are you learning from your conversations with the patients as well as the communities?
So we're learning the kinds of information that they want to receive, so and how they would like to receive them and when they would like to receive them. For example, one of those foundations holds an annual meeting and we go to them and we talk to them about this study. And so actually next month we'll be going to their third annual meeting as a part of this project. We'll be providing them with reminding them of the things that they've told us that we should implement and adapt, and we'll tell them how we have made those changes and what the outcomes of that will be from many different aspects of the study, including the survey design, the questions that were asked. We're in the process of starting some of our focus group analyses, and so they've helped us identify kind of the broad themes and questions that we should be asking of patients that they wish that they were asked when they were going through the process and how to implement those into our current study. One of the exciting things I think about this PECG effort is that ongoing engagement and optimizing your processes is a key part of your study. It's not like most research studies where you start with the plan and no matter what, you stick with that plan, whether it's working or not. This is a very iterative process that we are conducting with our patients to make sure at the end we have something that really works for them and gets the information back to them in an innovative but effective way.
Right. That's awesome. And having that interaction with them is very, very important. Well, what lessons can you share about working with communities as well as building partnerships?
So I guess one thing I'll say that we've heard across the different PECGS research centers is about how building these partnerships takes time and I will say that I think for all of the research centers, they had existing partnerships in place before they even wrote their grants. And so it does take a lot of time to build those relationships, to build that trust with these different communities. And I guess I think I've also heard a lot about how you know, each one of the research centers, they're partnering with different groups, and then how you have to really think about the unique perspectives from these different populations. There's obviously common themes, but there's also things that are different, and we really have to be, you know, listening to our different partners.
And I think it's also exciting that each of our centers are focused on slightly different populations. And so we have learned a lot from each other, even though the populations that we are focused on, different cancers, different racial ethnic groups for the different populations that we're addressing. And there have been several lessons from materials that are used to kind of break down, to describe what is cancer, to describe what is genomic results, and how to return them to the use of navigators or community health workers to disseminate some of the information and provide education are all lessons that I think have been really helpful to talk to the other centers and to learn from each other.
Okay, perfect. I will go ahead and address this next question to both of you, Leah and Bettina. How have patients and community members impacted your study?
Yeah, so I think we've touched upon some of this in the previous conversation. And I think Bettina particularly talked about, you know, getting all the research centers, you know, we're using participant feedback to better design the consent forms, to better design the communication materials, to really understand, you know, what is clear, what the barriers are for participation. And it's that iterative process that's really, I think, making these studies better.
I 100% agree that community members who have experienced these cancers or patient participants who are in these studies are really helping us to lead and guide the direction. And that's just been invaluable. And inform these studies, but we're already thinking about ways on how what we're learning we can write up so that it can inform other research studies in the future as well.
Okay, great. Well, what about the current results? Are there any current results that you both are really excited about?
So I am really excited because as of February, we have enrolled over 1,200 people in the PECGS with over 500 individuals providing tumor samples, and about 275 tumors have been sequenced. So it's really exciting to see, you know, this growth in this network. I think our studies have begun, you know, in the genomic characterization, we're beginning to see some genetic variants that are not reported in our existing databases, and are beginning to try to understand the importance of these variants. And some of our research centers are also observing that how, when we combine the results from these different molecular assays or biomarker tests, they help us to interpret the genetic findings that we're observing. So I think it's really been an exciting time.
That's great to hear. And Bettina, what about you?
I would agree with Leah. I think there are some emerging results that, you know, aren't just final yet, but some of the collaborations between the centers. So, for example, our center is one of the cancers we're focused on is colorectal cancer. Another one of the centers is also focused on colorectal cancer, but in a different population. They're focused on the Hispanic Latino population. And so there have been some joint cross-center projects where we can look at the data from both of our centers together from different geographic locations and also focusing on different racial ethnic groups. And so I'm really excited to see what some of the results from those collaborations will look like.
Okay, great. I appreciate you both highlighting the current results that you're excited about. Are there any future programs or projects that you would like to discuss?
Yeah, so Bettina mentioned one of the collaborative projects, and we had a few others, new collaborations that were just launched last year. And one of the collaborations is examining follow-up genetic testing among family members or cascade testing, trying to understand the communication between family members in the context of when there's been an inherited genetic variant observed, and understanding the factors that determine whether or not a family member has follow-up genetic testing. There also was a collaborative project that was launched trying to understand why people decide to decline to participate in these studies that is looking across the different research centers. I'm also excited in the future, you know, as Bettina mentioned, we're really hoping to inform other future research studies about how to do participant engagement. And really by comparing and contrasting what's working in these different research studies, the different approaches that they're being used, we can better understand the strategies of engagement that work and with who that these strategies will work.
Wonderful. And Bettina, do you have anything to add?
I'm excited about those too. I think those are the key future projects that we have going on, and we're excited to see the results.
Perfect. Well, before we conclude, I wanted to give both of you an opportunity. If you have any final comments or remarks that you'd like to leave with our listeners, you're more than welcome to do so.
So I'll start. This PECGS effort, I think, is an incredibly innovative and a project that includes investigators from multiple different disciplines that don't traditionally work on projects together. For example, the four MPIs, principal investigators from our site, include, you know, an epidemiologist, a clinician, a geneticist, individuals interested in community engaged work. And so I'm excited to see both what we learn about patient engagement, but also the additional resource of the samples that will come from the collective effort across all of the networks.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that too. That's really awesome. You may have to come back and give us an update. What about you, Leah?
I mean, I'm really excited about how this network has come together. We're all really passionate about the goal and the vision about you know, supporting these partnerships, about trying to work towards advancing health equity. So I'm really excited about that passion and shared goals of our network.
Awesome. Well, I just want to thank both of you so much for such an informative discussion about the PECGS network and the WIUPECGS study. They're both amazing initiatives and are doing a lot of good. So I really do appreciate your time, and I hope that you both have a wonderful afternoon.
Great. Thank you so much for including us. Thank you.
Thank you.
HealthCast, along with GovCast and Cybercast, is a production of GovCIO Media and Research. To explore our content, visit our website, govciomedia.com. Keep an eye out for new episodes every Tuesday. And if you like what you heard, leave us a review on the podcast platform of your choice. Have a topic you want us to discuss? Contact us at newsletter@govcio.com.